It wasn't for the goodness of God, we wouldn't be here. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here at the meeting. It's a privilege to be here and an honor to be able to share the word tonight. If you have a Bible, would you please turn to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Thank God for paperweights. Can I get a witness? Yeah, a few preachers will say amen to that. Amen. I like the one that you have inside there. Amen. Yeah. That keeps people away as well. Amen. You can beat them down. Matthew chapter number 12. I obviously, as the preacher mentioned tonight, anytime a preacher preaches, if he's preaching for the Lord, then he really is concerned about bringing the word that the Lord wants us to bring. Amen. There's a temptation in preachers to preach the sermon that got amens everywhere. But you know what? Just because a sermon got an amen somewhere else doesn't mean it's going to get an amen tonight. I believe that a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Amen? Now, I say that to say this. I really don't want to preach this message tonight. The message that I have laid on my heart tonight, I would rather not preach it. I have another message. I got 150 messages in the van. If this one don't work, I'm going to run over and grab another one. I'm going to keep doing that until they work. Amen? Some of you, don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. No, I'm teasing you, by the way. Amen. Usually I say that the first sermon works. Amen. And by the way, anyway, so I really prayed and just seeking the Lord and said, Lord, what wilt thou have us to preach? Amen. And I'll be honest with you. There are times the Lord say, preach this. I have no idea why, but he does. And that's all that matters. So if this is not him, blame me. If it's him, praise God. Amen. I want to preach a little bit tonight. I want to begin in Matthew chapter number 12. I want to begin in verse number 25. I want to look at this verse, and I want to use this verse as a springboard tonight to get into a message tonight, a topical message tonight, that I hope and pray would be a help to you. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. Preparing it has been a help to me. Amen. If the Word of God don't help me, it's not going to help you. Amen. In fact, the preacher is supposed to be partaker first of the Word of God. Amen. And so I want you to look with me, please, in Matthew chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 25, or actually just verse number 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. I want to preach a little bit tonight on the thought of unity. Unity. Now, folks, I really don't know. I know your preacher from a distance. I've met him several times at different conferences. Don't know him. But I don't know the church personally. But was here one time preaching. And so I have no idea. This is the message God laid on my heart. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times God will give us a word that may not be for the situation we're in, but the situation we're going to be in. You know how many people sat in services, heard messages, said, you know what? I'm not there. This don't matter to me. Don't apply to me. Not realizing about a week or about a month or about 6 months later, they hit that situation where if they'd have took that message, stored it up, it'd have helped them when they needed it. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? And by the way, this is 10 minutes. You say amen. You say amen, you're going to get me going. I'll end sooner. Amen. Amen. There we go. My brother said, amen, do that. I want to preach a message tonight that I pray will challenge all of our hearts in reference to unity. Now, let me just say this. Divide and conquer has always been, and I think until the Lord comes back, always will be the devil's strategy. Divide and conquer. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus said. That a kingdom divided, a house divided, cannot stand. Amen? And so the devil wants to put a wedge between people. Listen, the devil's in the business of destroying marriages. No doubt about it. Today's marriages are just, many of them are in ruins. Amen? In fact, I mean, you ruin a marriage, you ruin a home. You ruin a home, you ruin a church. You ruin a church, you ruin a society. The devil's in the business of dividing. Divide and conquer is his method, if you will. He destroys marriages. He destroys homes. He destroys churches. He destroys nations. I got to throw this out, but I'm not going to preach on it. As I was preparing this, it dawned on me. You know, there doesn't have to be two people in order to bring division. Do you know that you personally can be divided? You can have a double mind. You can have a double heart. You can have your affections and your attentions going in all different directions. By the way, I believe it's divided individuals that bring division. I believe that the devil gets you divided personally. You get a man that gets divided in his love and loyalty to his wife, he brings division to the marriage. Or the woman, vice versa. Can I get a witness on that? We all have to be careful. We keep our hearts united. David prayed in Psalm 80, I think it's 85, 6. He said, Lord, unite my heart to fear thee. He wanted a whole heart for God. Amen? Unity. We need unity, no doubt about it. Listen, divide and conquer is the devil's strategy for destroying marriages and homes and churches and nations. But let me give you this thought. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Bear with me. I'm going to start breathing heavy and you'll hear thunder, but it's not rain. Amen. We're praying for rain. Amen. If we could bring the thunder and bring the rain, that sounds good. Amen. I want you to note this now. Watch this. Divide and conquer is the devil's strategy. Now listen, the truth is, united, we stand. Divided, we fall. Amen. And the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, gives some emphasis on the fact that two are better than one. Amen? Watch this. I want you to note something. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look with me please in verse number 9. Two are better than one. Now look at verse 9. It emphasizes on this. When it comes to working, two are better than one. Watch this. Because they have a good reward for their what? Labor. When it comes to working, two are better than one. And then verse number 10, listen to this. When it comes to walking. Now in this day and during this time, to walk these roads and these mountainous areas, it was dangerous. You could slip and you can fall and you can get yourself in a jam. Many times we watch the news and we hear about somebody falling on a rocky area where they get stuck and they're alone. In fact, I remember one time there was a guy who got stuck and he actually cut his own arm off in order to get out and to get and to save his life. How many people remember that? Wouldn't it have been better if he had somebody with him? You see, when it comes to working, two are better than one. When it comes to walking, two are better than one. Look at verse number 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Two are better than one when it comes to working. Two are better than one when it comes to walking. Look at verse number 11. Two are better than one when it comes to warming. I want you to look at verse number 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And by the way, there is no immorality in the verse. Can I get a witness? Amen. Then, by the way, David was an old man and he was cold and he couldn't warm himself. And they hired a woman to lay next to him. No immorality, but to give him the heat that he could not produce on his own. I'll tell you what, if I and some other man was stuck somewhere and it was freezing cold, we would be shacking up in one tent, if no doubt about it. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. And now let me put it this way. When it comes to being warm, two are better than one. There are a lot of people that are leaving churches and they think that they're going to make it by themselves, if you will. I don't need the church of God. I can go on my own. Let me tell you what happens to that log. When you take a log out of the fire, it smolders and it gets cold and it dies out. But let me tell you about all the logs that gather in the house of God. When you come in cold, and sometimes you will, can I get a witness on that one? Like, we're not always on fire. There are times we come in wet and we come in cold and somebody else helps to light our fire. That's what the church is all about, amen? God help us if we're all cold, amen? Two are better than one when it comes to working and walking and warming. But look at verse number 12. Two are better than one when it comes to warring. When it comes to battling, when it comes to fighting. Look at verse number 12. And if one prevail, now you're talking about warring. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And get the next statement. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Two are better than one. You and I are not meant to walk alone through this life. We need each other. The emphasis in the New Testament, especially on the local church, is one another. Love one another. Exhort one another. Provoke one another. Care for one another. Amen? We need unity. No doubt about it. Amen? You take a stick. You take a little stick somewhere around here. And you can break it easy. Then you put it together. You may be able to break it easy. But then you put those together. You know what I'm saying, right? You can visualize it. Once you get a group of those sticks together, hard to break. Let me just say this while I'm on that. We need to stick together. Amen? No doubt about it. By the way, that's new. I got to write that down. Amen.
Amen, brother.
My brother-in-law asked me, his name is Dominic Pennicetti Jr., he asked me to preach on unity. So the Lord had given me this message. And I'll be honest with you, when I first opened up the Bible and thought, okay, he wants me to preach on unity, and I was looking through them, I said, my goodness, unity is all throughout the Bible. I mean, it's just all throughout. Where do you start? So I came up with a bright idea. I said, let me look up the word unity. That's a bright idea, isn't it? I want you to note something, though. The concept of unity is found all throughout the Bible. But the word unity itself is found only three times. Try. The word try is three. Get this. Tri-unity is where we get the word Trinity from. I don't think it's a coincidence you find Trinity three unity three times in the Bible. Amen? Well, watch this now. It's found in the Bible three times. Tri-unity. God. Unity is of God. Our God is a God of unity. Amen? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen? Now let me just say this. Is one of these waters mine? This one, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I can't accept the ice. Sorry. Let me just say this. In John 17 is what is really the Lord's Prayer. In John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus actually lifted up his eyes and he prayed. And let me just say this. The Lord Jesus in John 17, he used the Godhead. He used the Trinity as an example of the kind of unity that he was praying for his disciples to have. Not only did he pray for his disciples at that time to have that kind of unity, but in verse 20, he said, not only these, but for those that will believe from their word. The Lord Jesus said, Father, help them to be one as we are one. And then he said, Father, help them to be one as you and me and I and you. Help them to have the kind of unity that we set the example. If they have this kind of unity, the world will see it and they'll make an impact and a difference in the lives of others. Amen? Listen, in John 17, we have a prayer for unity. But watch this now. What we often call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9 is technically a model prayer. That's a prayer of unity. Our Father. Jesus said, when you pray, say our Father. It's give us this day. It's lead us. It's forgive us. It's deliver us. You understand? Unities of God, and God wants you and I to be united, amen? Because united we stand, divided we fall. Amen? From the three places in the Bible where the word unity is found, we can note three things about unity. And I want you to get this. This is my points tonight. From the three places where the Bible uses the word unity, we note three things about unity. Would you turn to Ephesians for a moment, please? Chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Three things tonight. And I'll be honest with you. We could spend a message on each one of them. That's not my goal tonight. I have a different goal tonight. I think that God led me tonight to go through this, but to focus on something particular. So if you'll just pay attention, if you would, and just give me some just a little bit of divided and undivided. It's undivided. That's good. Attention. Amen. Number one, I want you to note this. Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to see, beginning in verse number 11, what we have here, the unity is found in this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 11, the Bible says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now get this, till we all come, note the next statement, in the unity of the what? Faith. There it is. The first time unity, not the first time, but it's found before this in chapter number 4, but I want to put it in this order for a reason. One of the first things I want you to note about unity is unity involves the Word of God.
The preacher, according to this, is to take the Word of God and build up the people of God. Amen? Matter of fact, the Word of God is what we as God's people rally around. There ain't no doubt about it. By the way, we ain't going to have unity apart from the Word of God. That's why we're not ecumenical. That's why we don't stand with the Catholic priests, and we don't stand with the rabbis, and we don't stand with individuals like a lot of people call people to do. Why? We don't believe the same things, especially on major issues. When it comes to salvation, we got one thing we believe. Amen? Jesus is Jesus alone. Now listen, I guarantee you that we don't all agree on everything in this Bible. But I guarantee you we agree on the major things, no doubt about it. Amen? And so there can be no unity apart from the Word of God. Amen? And it's this book right here that we come around and rally around and learn from and grow from and so on. Amen? The unity of the faith. In fact, in the book of Jude, verse number 3, it says that we ought to contend for the faith, the body of truth, once for all delivered unto the saints. That's the Bible right here. Amen? Unity involves the Word of God. But let me give you the second thought. I want you to look at chapter number 4 and look at verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep what? The unity of the Spirit. Number 2. Unity involves the Spirit of God. Amen? You see, we gather around the Word of God, but prayerfully in the Spirit of God. Amen? Unity involves the Word of God. We're not going to have good unity if we're not in the book. You got these young people today, preacher. I just don't agree with his stand on this, that, and the other thing. You know what I say? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you read your Bible? No. Let me ask you a more deeper one. When's the last time you read the whole Bible? And if they were bad enough and big enough and proud enough that I read the whole Bible one year, let me ask you another question. When's the last time you studied the whole Bible? When's the last time you read a whole commentary on the Bible? Here's what I'm saying. You have no knowledge at all. This man's been preaching for 20-something years and you don't see eye to eye. Oh, now I understand why. Amen. You see, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Amen. Unity involves the Word of God. Unity involves the Spirit of God. Now listen, I'm coming back to that. That's going to be our emphasis. But let me give you the third thought. I want you to turn to Psalms chapter number 133. Psalm 133, please. Preacher told me I only got 3 hours, so I'm going to try to get it in. Don't leave yet, please. I'm only joking, amen. Hey, my father-in-law preaches long. Anybody know Pastor Pennicetti? Yeah, that guy preached long. He preached so long one night, the guy got up and started walking out, and the preacher said, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to get a haircut." My father-in-law said, "Well, you should have got one before the service." He said, "I didn't need one before the service." Amen? Why don't you look at Psalm 133, if you would, please. Psalm 133. This is the third place in the Bible where the word unity is found. We know that in Ephesians, unity involves the Word of God. Unity involves the Spirit of God. And then let me give you this thought, number 3. Unity involves the blessing of God. When people are united around the book in the Spirit, God blesses that. He'll bless a marriage like that. He'll bless a home like that. He'll bless a church like that. We want His blessing. Let's get to the book and let's get in the Spirit. Amen? I want you to look at Psalm 133. Behold. You know what He's saying? Look. You know what I think personally? This is an ascent psalm. This is a psalm where the children of Israel sang it as they ascended one of the 3 times a year to Jerusalem. And you could see the people united, singing, flocking to the place where God's name was honored. Behold! Watch this. Look at verse number 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I believe verse number 2. Actually, let me just say this. I believe that verse number 3 embellishes upon the thought of unity being good. Because the thought of good means beneficial. In the context, I believe good means fruitful. Watch this. Look at verse number 3. It compares the goodness of unity. It's as the dew of Hermon. And it's as the dew that descended, that came from that high mountain and descended upon the mountains of Zion. What is he saying? He's saying this unity is like the water, the refreshing, the fruit producing water that comes down from the high mountain down to this Zion where God's people are meeting. In fact, there's a comparison, there's a symbol, I believe, of the dew being God's word. He said in Deuteronomy 32, my word's like dew that comes down. His word comes down. That dew comes down. The rain comes down. Amen. Life producing, soul satisfying. Amen. Amen. But not only is it good, but verse number 1 says it's pleasant. And I think verse number 2 embellishes upon that pleasantness. It's an aroma. It's a smell. Did you ever smell something good and just feel good because of it? Can I get a witness? Amen. I want you to notice. Watch. It is. He's comparing it. It's like the precious ointment. That's that holy anointing oil. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down. Notice in verse 3 it said that this dew ascended from high. This oil comes down. I don't know if you're getting it yet. God's blessing comes down on united people. Amen? Watch this now. He goes on and says, it's like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Proverbs 27:9 says this, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Amen? There's a fruitfulness that comes from the dew. There's a joyfulness that comes from the oil. You've hated wickedness. You love righteousness in reference to Jesus. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Your garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, whereby they make you glad. Amen. This dew and this oil, it's bringing fruitfulness. It's bringing pleasantness. Amen? That's what unity does. Oh, would to God our marriages were like this. Had that fruitfulness of heaven. Had that fragrance of heaven. Amen? Our homes, our churches. Amen? Amen. Unity found 3 times in the Bible. Involves the Word of God. Involves the Spirit of God. Involves the blessing of God. By the way, I forgot to quote it. Verse 3 of Psalm 133. There He commanded the blessing. Life evermore. There. There where a united people are. Amen? Now I'm going to say this. I'm going to get to the crux of it right now. And I want you to get this. I'm going to read some thoughts. You got to pay attention to get it. You know what some people say? I'm so poor I can't pay attention. You ever hear anybody say that? You're poor because you don't pay attention. Can I get a witness? Somebody help me. By the way, you say, how do you know that, brother? I sit there often. Not easy on Sunday morning when you're hungry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the only one. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. I'm the only one with flesh. Amen. God allows preachers to sit there so they get an understanding of where people are at sometimes. Amen. Watch this here. I want you to get this. If you get anything, get this. The working of the Holy Spirit is the key to unity. I know unity involves the Word of God, and there's a major emphasis, no doubt about it. I know unity involves the blessing of God and so on. But let me tell you, I think the main key is the fact that unity involves the Spirit of God. That's the main key for us. Let me tell you why. Watch this now. The working of the Holy Spirit is the key to unity. In the book of Exodus, don't turn there, but chapter 30, In verses 22 to 25, there's the instructions on how to make the holy anointing oil. Remember the oil we were talking about in Psalm 133? It tells them how to make it. Now watch this. Here's the ingredients to the holy anointing oil. Myrrh. It's a spice. Sweet cinnamon. That's a spice. Sweet calamus. That's a spice. Cassia. That's a spice. If you were to take four spices and put them in something and mix them together, is that unity? Totally? No. Let me tell you the fifth ingredient to the holy anointing oil, which is the major ingredient. It's called olive oil. Because here's what the olive oil does. It takes those spices and it brings them together and it holds them together. I'm going to tell you something. Only God can take four different types of things and bring them together and make them one. Amen. It takes the Spirit of God to get together with somebody that you're not like. Amen. The oil is the key. The Holy Spirit is the key to unity. Let me say this. In Psalm 133, there were two things used to illustrate unity. Number one was the oil, right? Number two was what? Dew. Do you know what dew is? Can I get some? Can you help me? Water. What do we say in our day and age? They don't mix. But let me say this. In the person of the Holy Spirit, they do. Because His symbol is oil. His symbol is water. Naturally, they don't mix. But supernaturally, they mix. Let me give you this. Why is it that we find the word unity twice in the book of Ephesians? Do you know the great emphasis of the book of Ephesians? Let me give it to you. The middle wall has been broken down. If you don't know your Bible, let me put it this way. In the temple before salvation, Jews and Gentiles had a separation. But now the wall is taken down and Jews and Gentiles come together in one. To take a Jew and to take a Gentile is to take two extremes. How can you get two opposite people to unite? The Holy Spirit of God. They unite around the Word of God. But oh, it takes the Holy Spirit to say, I don't like what you're doing, but it's not against the Scriptures. I'll shut up. Amen. I'm not done yet. I'm almost, in fact, I might get done shorter than the preacher asked me to. I don't believe you have to preach so long. I believe you ought to preach long enough to get the message across, short enough that people don't forget it. Can I get a witness? I've heard preachers preach an hour and a half and they said the same thing over and over and over again. I got it. I already got it. Amen? Let me close. Watch this now as we come down. Now listen, we said this. The working of the Holy Spirit is the key to unity, right? Watch this. But all too often, the work of the Spirit is hindered by the walk of the saint. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. Watch this. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. You say, here's why I'm telling you. Listen, this Bible's settled forever. Can I get a witness on that one? This Bible's not up and down like I am. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. I understand that there's been Bibles that have divided churches. Amen. But when you're in a good church with a good book, it's not going to do the dividing. I am. Amen. Watch this now. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. The Holy Spirit of God. Listen. You may be totally different than I am. I grew up in the city. You may have grew up in down south. Can I get a witness? I'm from north. You're from south. I'm bald. You got hair. I'm fat. You're skinny. Listen, we might not have nothing in common, but listen. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. I have the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. That's the common denominator. That's what links us together even more so. Amen? Look at Ephesians, if I can ever get there. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Won't you look with me, please? I want you to see the context of this. Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. See, the work of the Spirit is often hindered by the walk of the saint. Look at Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, Paul said, the prisoner of the Lord, get this, beseech you that you what? Walk worthy. Can I tell you what he's saying here? As God's people, he's saying walk right. Walk right. Walk right. Why? When you walk right, your spirit filled. How does he describe the kind of walk they should have? Look at verse 2. Walk in lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Hold on a minute. To me, that sounds like Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know if you got me on that one. Well, what is he saying? He's saying, listen, walk in the Spirit. Why? Galatians 5, 16, you'll not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. My flesh wants to start a fight with you sometimes. You're sitting in my seat. I've had that pew for 39 years now. You have no idea who my family are. You don't know we built this church. Can I get a witness? My flesh wants to cause a fight between somebody. If I can get out of my flesh and get into the Spirit, I'll do nothing to you. Walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not the Spirit of God that brings division. It's the flesh that brings division. Amen? Watch this now. Watch. Walk with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. We can't put up with each other without the Spirit of God. Amen? In love. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Endeavoring. You know what endeavoring means? Work hard at it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Work. Can I put it this way in the context? Work on your walk. Work on your walk. Folks, my wife and I have tiffs. No, it's not a daughter. We have problems sometimes. And I'm sorry if you're one of the couples that's never had a problem in your life and never will. The rest of us, we don't always agree on everything. Can I get a witness on that one? And I'm always wrong. I'll be the second to admit that. You know what the problem is between me and my wife? Sometimes. Me. Can I get a witness? And you know, we say, I was walking in the Spirit all this time, and just in a moment of time, I just got in the flesh. That's usually not the case. Amen? Let me give you this thought. Why do we have to work on our walk? Why we have to make sure we're right with God and walking in the Spirit? Here it is. Carnal people hinder unity. Where do you get that from, brother? I'm glad you asked. I get it from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. Paul said, you know, I really wanted to speak to you about some things that it buddy over your head because you're a baby, you're carnal, you're walking in, man, you're in the flesh. That's why there's divisions among you. Amen? Pentecostals and all kinds of crazy charismatics use Corinthians as the model church. That's not a model church. That was crazy. It's carnal church. Amen? A lot of immorality, division, and so on. Amen? Walking in the flesh. Amen? Watch this now. Carnal people hinder unity. Now get this. Spiritual, spirit-filled people promote and protect unity. Somebody comes to them and they want to bring division. A spiritual person will protect and promote unity and just stop it there and never take it further. Amen? Let me say this. Our relationship with others depends on our relationship with God. Amen. I'm not right with God, I'm probably going to be a problem. Just a fact. Just a fact. Amen? Let me close with this illustration. The Lord had given me a message. I never really fully developed it yet, but maybe one day I'll work on it. It's called the two letters. There were two letters in the Bible that were written, and I personally believe that each of these letters was actually given to the individual that it was written for. It was put in their hands to be taken to their authority. The two letters. Now watch this. I want you got to listen real careful and get this. Ready? I want you to get this. Ready? King David. Get this now. Ready? In the flesh, wrote a bad letter for a good man. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. His name was Uriah the Hittite. King David wrote a letter of death. Put it in the man's hand. This man, as you read, he was a warrior. He was brave. He was better than David at the time. And this man in the flesh put a letter in his hand and sent it to his death. But then we read of another letter. The Apostle Paul, in the spirit. Tough thing about that was he's in jail, yet he's in the spirit. If I was in jail, my spirit would probably be gone. Reminds me of John on the island of Patmos. He was in the island, but he was in the spirit. Boy, if I could be in my troubles and in the spirit at the same time, I'm a good Christian. Amen? Watch this now. The Apostle Paul, in the spirit, wrote a good letter for a bad man. His name was Onesimus. Onesimus was a thief, a runaway, who ended up in jail somehow, in some way, but Paul led him to the Lord. Wrote a letter of forgiveness and restoration and exaltation and sent it back to his authority. Said, love him, forgive him, help him. It all depends on whether I'm in the flesh. Who's writing the letter? When it comes down to me writing a letter, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Watch this now. In the flesh, we can hurt good people. In the spirit, we can help bad people. In the flesh, we're a part of the problem. In the spirit, we're a part of the solution. Unity involves the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the blessing of God. But I think by now we all got it. I need to be a Spirit-filled man so that I can add and be a blessing and not a division and a hurt to my marriage, to my home, to my church. Amen? And by the way, we're not always all Spirit-filled. You know what? I think it was D.L. Moody who said something about, why do we got to keep getting filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, because there's a hole in the bucket. Can I get a witness? There's a hole in the bucket. We're sinful beings with sinful natures. Amen? But thank God we can come all the time and be filled with the Spirit of God and get right with God. Amen? Where are you tonight? Can you write a good letter for a bad man? Or would you rather write a bad letter for a good man? Where are you? We need to get things right maybe tonight. If God's working on your heart, let's do it tonight. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me tonight? Maybe we can have the instrumentalist come.